Yeah, so the confidence comes with having a safety net and a cash reserve bucket, right? Mm. So nobody likes to hear that. It's not fun. Yeah. but the idea that everybody should have a savings account with 3 to 6 months their committed living expenses, right? So, you know, after you sit down and do a budget and figure out what your income, your expenses are, it's not a guess number. Then having 3 to 6 times that as a safety net. And that does two things. It.
Welcome to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming, where money matters become conversation starters. Let's get talking. Welcome to today's episode of Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. In today's episode, we're talking with Chris Hensley about his podcast, Talking About Money, Talking About Investing, Money Fears, and Feeling Confident with Money in Our Lives. Chris has a podcast and he's been hosting it for over 10 years. And he's also a financial advisor. He hosts the podcast called Money Matters, and I was recently a guest on his podcast. So if you want to go listen to that episode, I'll leave a link in the show notes. But to outline a little bit more of what we're talking about today, should you talk about money with friends? Should you talk about investing? These are great questions to be asking, and Chris and I dive into how they can be helpful or they could potentially be harmful. So you may hear me speak of an example where I don't think it's a good idea to talk about money, and I love talking about money, so make sure you stay tuned for this one. But Chris and I also get into why we like podcasting so much. And I would even encourage anyone who has some field of interest to start creating content around it so that you can use it as a way to talk to people that you want to be around. Want to be around your favorite authors? We'll start talking about the books you're reading and so on. Podcasts or other content can be a great way to get around those people that you look to for help or that you maybe want to have a conversation with. Today's segments are going to include the money talking points, of course, as well as a handy hint, a personal finance power-up, and I'm debuting a new segment called The Water Cooler, so be sure to stick around to the end for today's great episode. The money talking points for today's episode are, how do you feel confident with money? And two, what are your money fears? With the money talking points in mind, let's get right into today's episode. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's interview on Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. Joining me today, I have Christopher, and I was recently a guest on his podcast, and now here we are getting to talk about money on my podcast. So, Chris, would you go ahead and introduce yourself for everyone?
Yeah, absolutely. So I am Chris Hensley. I'm a financial advisor. I'm the owner of Houston First Financial Group with my financial advisor hat on, but I'm also a podcaster. And so I've been doing Money Matters podcast for the last 10 years. In fact, this year is our decade anniversary. So I kind of wear both of those hats.
Awesome. 10 years is a long time. I've been doing this for about 2.5, and it feels like a while for me. So I can't imagine how 10 years feels for you. How does it feel to be talking about money for that long?
Yeah, you know, awesome. it's been a blast. It has changed over the last 10 years. Money Matters as a show started out as a live radio show here in KPFT here in Houston, which is a volunteer run radio station. The podcast was kind of an afterthought because we had this thing called an MP3 that just got recorded along with a radio show. And somebody said, you know, you need to put that on Libsyn and start going with the podcast. And that's when podcast was new media, you know. And now it's not new media. a lot of people are doing the podcast now. So it's been fantastic. It's been an evolution. A lot of changes over the last 10 years, but I still enjoy it. Still passionate about it for sure.
Yeah. There's a lot of people like me that have started one in the last couple of years. So it's a fun time though, getting to talk to people on all sorts of different podcasts, but cool. Let's jump right here into the first question of, you've been talking about money for so long, and how has your view on money changed from when you first started 10 years ago or so?
Yeah, you know, it has evolved right along with the show. The neat idea behind Money Matters was that we were going to do a show that was story-based for Houstonians. That was conversational, that wasn't, you know, it was the idea of opposite of what you see on CNBC, the talking heads and the investment shows that tend to, you know, shoot over us, right? It was, you know, down-to-earth conversations about financial literacy and money. But that, you know, has evolved and changed kind of as it's gone. I keep this picture here next to my desk if I have clients come in, but this is, you know, one of the first interviews I did, I want to say in the first, you know, 15 episodes, this was with Niece Parker, who at the time was the mayor of Houston. And, you know, that was a really neat experience for me because I was interviewing her about Financial Literacy Month in April, which we're in April right now, right?
Yes.
And we had a local initiative called Houston Money Week. So I was interviewing her about that. And I was also interviewing her about the LIBOR scandal. This was where Houston was actually involved with a class action lawsuit where we sued the LIBOR bond index, which was kind of crazy. Mm. But it was a neat story, and it was neat to be invited in and talk to her. A couple things came out of that. One, when I sat down with her, I don't know if you know much about Houston politics. A lot of people from outside of Houston wouldn't know this. Anise Parker was one of the first openly gay mayors in the country, and she was she was the second female mayor of Houston of all time. Kathy Whitmire was the first one. Before the show, when we were talking, I managed a bookstore when I was in college. Well, she owned a bookstore before she was mayor, and we started talking about science fiction. Which was crazy, right? This was a point of connection that was, you know, outside of the interview. And, you know, fast forward, she ended up putting me on the list to be invited to her home. Every Christmas, she had a press where she would invite all the local press. And so that kind of gave me some confidence right at the beginning. It gave me some notoriety here locally. It built some credibility. And that was within the first like 15 episodes, but it really kind of gave me that shot in the arm that's like, you know, we can get the local people, we can go for the higher profile guest as well. And trying to get like a good mix of that, that was a good, you know, first couple of episodes there to see that.
Yeah. How does that connection and how did those connections help instill confidence when you're, if you're going for that big name guest and you know, you've had some really meaningful connections already, how does that help you when you're talking about money with people?
Yeah. You know, so for my profession as a financial advisor over the past 10 years, if you go on and you look at the show, you can see, you know, I specialize in retirement planning. So you could see some of the major thought leaders in retirement planning, right? So it's definitely helped with credibility for when I'm wearing my business owner hat. But the other side of that is not the high profile guests. It's just having people on and having conversations. And some of those episodes have been the most interesting to me. You never know where they're going to go. Everybody's got a story, and each one of them is interesting in their own rights. You know, that is something that I always keep open to. But then I think it was Tim Ferriss. One of the things he suggested was, you know, never being afraid to just go to to somebody and asking them for help. Right. Mm-hmm. And so just kind of getting out of my comfort zone, I found a sweet spot where as a podcaster, I'm kind of prone to getting authors on this show. And so I will look for people who are, you know, New York Times bestselling authors, and I'll look on Audible, maybe something I'm listening to currently. I say, you know what? I want to pick their brain. I want to get deeper in this book than just the audio book. And so there's kind of a sweet spot when they publish that book where if you approach them, they are encouraged to get out and promote the book. And so I found myself interviewing people that I would never have thought that I ever would have interviewed. And that's happened repeatedly over the last 10 years. And it's just such a neat thing that's rolled out organically and just kind of, you know, as the show's progressed.
Awesome. You reignited an idea in my mind of that. That's what's so nice about a podcast is you can take those people that you want to talk to and say, hey, I have a small audience. Can I pick your brain for a minute for the value of everyone that's listening, but also mainly for me? And that's what's something that's so awesome about podcasting is I've thought about that too. And now I'm going to have to pursue it a little further of reaching out to those authors that I enjoy their book. And I know that it's been a piece of maybe my financial journey or life in other ways. And talking to those people, one, that's kind of cool when you get to sit down and talk to those people that you maybe look to for inspiration and stuff like that. Like I had, maybe you know, the How to Money podcast. I was able to have them on my show. And one, when we started, I was like, guys, I'm a little starstruck because I've been listening to you for like hundreds and hundreds of episodes. But it's so cool to take those people that maybe have an influence on your life a little bit. And I guess that's a recommendation to start a podcast, because then you can go talk to some really cool people. But
Absolutely.
So far, our main takeaways are start a podcast so that everyone can jump on this awesome train. But you talked about money to a lot of people over a long period of time. How does that help you in your life? So maybe just those simple conversations you mentioned, everyone has a story. How does talking about money help you directly in your life?
Yeah, I mean, the podcast is almost like a university, like an extension of a university to me. Because as a lifelong learner, always keeping open to what you will learn, I've learned so much from the guest over the last 10 years when it comes to finances. I mean, we've covered everything from, you know, personal finance, financial literacy, investing. You know, we've had a little bit of everything, because money is such a broad topic that, you know, each and every time I've learned to kind of absorb the lessons, right? Mm-hmm. And because, and it's a neat way to come at it, because I have other financial advisors on the show all the time. And you know, I've been doing this podcast tour where I'm being a guest. This is the first time I've done this. I'm on show number like 16 now. You're 17. Nice. 17. And it's neat being on the other side of the microphone. But I've had some financial advisors who are like, well, I don't want to have you on the show because you're a financial advisor. Over the last 10 years, the way I've looked at it is like no one person is going to speak to something the same way, right? Mm-hmm. And so for listeners, it's not about me, and it's not even about the guests, it's about the listeners. For listeners, it's to their benefit to have other financial advisors on here, because they may hit a topic that I've maybe already gone over, and they're going to talk about it in a different way, and it's going to connect to them. So I'm very blue ocean, right? It's like all ships go up with a rising tide. And so all of those guests that I've had over the years, I've absorbed a lot of that information. I go out, I still do, I've got kind of a side hustle here where companies, besides doing my financial planning, I'll go out and I'll do financial literacy talks for companies that do financial literacy as part of their employee program, right? As part of their EAP through their health insurance. Mm-hmm. And so they'll hire me and I'll do either webinars or in-person talks. And a lot of the stories that I weave into those presentations have come through stuff that the guests have shared with me over the years. Because it's just that good. I've got kind of my, you know, tried and true book of things that I use. But I've just, you know, you just pick up these stories as you go. And it's so neat to see it that way.
Yeah, stories are awesome to tell. And that's one thing that I love to tell, like, my friends and stuff. When we get talking about my podcast, I'm like, guys, you won't believe this story. And I may have mentioned this on your podcast, I can't remember. But a few episodes ago, I had someone share that they were spending their money in order to make it so that they had to honestly tell their mom they couldn't help with the family and things like that. And stories like that, one, blow my mind, but it's so fun to hear. And I like what you said, that people share things differently, because like I can think of countless examples, and not off the top of my head, but there's so many times where we're speaking on this, we're talking about credit cards, right? I have probably 5 or 6 episodes about credit cards. But everyone's story is different. One guy talks about how he took it into his own hands to work with debt collectors. I share about avoiding debt altogether and using credit card rewards. Some people talk about maximizing credit card rewards. There's just so many different ways to do it that when you hear all those stories, it's fun. One for you and I, I'm sure, is the host to be able to hear all those stories. But hopefully the guests are able to take away that one thing, like you said, that impacts them. I think that's fantastic. I really liked that.
Oh, yeah, for sure. For sure. I mean, and credit card debt that's one that everybody, doesn't matter who they are, at some point they've seen it. It's reared its head. They've either been a really good steward and they weren't, you know, oh, I don't like debt at all. Or more than likely, they've had debt and they've had to deal with it, and they've either knocked it out or it's in a continuing thing. So getting people comfortable to asking for the help, and something that they might hear on your show could point them down the right path.
Yeah, I love it. So it's so awesome, because as you're talking with friends, everyone has a different view. Like you said, everyone's at least thought about credit card debt. Maybe you've been fortunate enough to avoid it, but you've thought about how to avoid it. That's for sure. So that's why it's so fun to have different topic conversations with all sorts of different people. But I want to maybe move into a little bit about fears around money. And maybe this will be an opportunity to learn more about you, or we can either head in the direction of how you overcome fears. But I'd like to start in the direction of, as someone, you've talked about money a lot on your podcast, you've probably seen a lot of maybe stories to avoid, situations to avoid. What fears do you have with money since you've heard so many different stories?
Yeah, you know, over the life, so I'm 50, I'm turning 50 on April 20th today. So, nice. And you know, I've been doing financial planning for 20 years. I was in banking prior to that. I was part of a nonprofit here called Money Management International, which is Consumer Credit Counselor Southwest. That's what they used to do. So I've been involved with, you know, budgeting and credit cards and a little bit of everything, right? So, you know, I've personally kind of seen it all. I mean, and even experienced it as I was growing my business and putting in sweat equity. I had to Uber at the beginning. You know, I don't necessarily always share that, but that was part of being, you know, going from a salaried employee to an entrepreneur. And so, you know, you do all of those things to get on track. The stuff that we share with clients now, that I've experienced a lot of that stuff firsthand. So it does help to be able to connect personally when you talk about that with somebody. But there, all of those fears, you want to be an optimist, right? And I'm kind of a core optimist, but when it comes to money, a lot of times you plan for hope for the best, but plan for the worst, right? Mm-hmm. I deal with a lot of retirees. So I would say the biggest fear that I see in that market with that age group is going to be running out of money, right? And so that's a very real thing. You know, if you don't do good planning, if you don't understand what's going on with Social Security, if you haven't saved enough, mm-hmm. You may even still bring some of the credit card debt that we just talked about. You may even still have student loans out there, or you may have signed mm-hmm. for a student loan for a child, and then the child didn't go to school, and you're stuck with student loans, and you're, you know, in 50s, 60s, right? So all kinds of things like that. Those fears can be real. I think that's why, you know, having a good financial plan, whether it's meeting with a professional or doing it on your own, right? And mm-hmm. those are my favorite people are people that are educated when it comes to mm-hmm. their finances. And that doesn't necessarily mean a degree, right? Sometimes educated in finances means school of hard knocks, but those can mm-hmm. be some of the most difficult lessons to learn. So any of those that I've learned along the way, I try to share those with other people so they don't make those same mistakes, right?
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. And I want to maybe, let's talk a little bit in a minute about fears of young adults and such too. Mm-hmm. But I wanted to take us in that direction. And a couple of things that come to my mind, and I'd be interested to hear what you think, is student loans is one that sounds like it's both sides of the aisle. It's the older people who have one that's outstanding or signed a Parent Plus loan or something like that. But then young adults have that worry of, will I ever be able to pay it off? Do I need to pay it off? Is it going to be forgiven? Like, that's a whole lot of stress around that. And then things are so expensive that how do you actually pay for stuff? Will I ever get a home? Things like that. What are some things that you think the younger side of the coin have to be fearful or a little worried about with money?
Yeah, you know, both of the things you just mentioned, home ownership, right? I will start with that one. I'm a big advocate of, you know, buying a home as soon as you possibly can. It's one of the, there's very few things that I can say are great investments, and it's a broad recommendation that I can make that is good for generally everybody, mm-hmm. right? Owning a home is good because you end up building equity, right? And you can write off the interest because when you get a 30-year mortgage, the interest right at the beginning is going to be stacked. You're going to have a lot of interest, mm-hmm. and then eventually it gets down to a little bit of principal left, right, as you get closer to paying it. Most of that you can write off of your taxes, so it's a good tax shelter as you start getting higher income. Mm-hmm. If you're not paying your own mortgage, you're renting. If you're renting, you're paying somebody else's mortgage, whether it's the landlord or a commercial real estate company or something like that. So it's, you know, I'm a big advocate for home ownership, but from a young person, you would be, you know, the idea of how expensive things are, right? Mm-hmm. They've always been expensive though. So the idea of inflation, you know, when I bought my first condo, when me and my wife got married, we had like a 7% interest rate. Back then that was good. And now, you know, prior, mm-hmm. you know, 2 years ago, we've seen rates as low, historically low, right? where people were getting like 2.5 and 3% interest rates. And now they're kind of start, you know, in a different area again. But I would say that's kind of part of it. And as that property grows, you get appreciation in it. So I would say, you know, that it's a great goal to have as a younger person. You do have conflicting things that are pulling at your goals, though. The other one that you mentioned was college loans, right? Mm-hmm. Or student loans. That's a tricky one. This is a moving target for sure, because when I was younger, you know, you would try to, you don't want to go into debt. But the mm-hmm. thinking was that a student loan was an investment in yourself. Typically, mm-hmm. people who have degrees are going to have higher income than people that don't. I have seen recent, there's kind of a trend with some colleges moving towards lower tuition, or even the idea that maybe no tuition. There's been some of these colleges that have kind of rolled that out or test bubbled that. That would be awesome, right? I'd love that. I'd love the idea of anybody who raises their hand and says, I'd like to get educated and go get a degree, couldn't be, the barrier that is finances, right? The cost of tuition bars people from going down that road sometimes. On the other hand, if you don't pay your student loans back, and this is from my credit counselor in the back of my head telling me this, it is one of the few things that they could garnish wages for. So if you get somebody who falls into bad financial times and they think, hey, I'm not going to pay my student loans, they don't go away, right? These are things that they can actually garnish your wages. They could get it right out of the bank account. They can contact the HR person at your employer and connect to the payroll. So you know, you definitely, if you get student loans, you want to make sure you're paying them back. And when I'm dealing with the people that are a little bit older, I tend to remind them that if the student decides to go to Europe and race motorcycles instead of completing the degree, if you sign a plus loan, you're on the hook for that. So make sure. It's also an opportunity if you're getting out into the work world and you're trying to build your credit, and you don't, you know, the idea of your parents signing off on it just to get a little bit of a better interest rate. Maybe this is when you start building that credit history of paying back your student loan consistently. And that's kind of the beginning of getting out in the world and establishing your credit for a young person. So a couple different ways to look at that.
Yeah. And I think the thing is, if you're intentional about them, they don't have to be such big fears in your life. One thing that I took away from that is that your ultimate fear should be being overdue to the government, because that's what it's a real problem. Like the IRS, stay away. That's a big fear. Stay away from owing the IRS money. So, but even with student loans too, like if they're federal student loans, you don't want to get super behind on those, because the government's the people with the power to do what they want. So they can change the contract or something like that. I don't know. But
very few people can actually go into your bank account and get them or garnish them or put a freeze on them. Taxes and student loans and alimony even. So if you get divorced and you commit something in writing, and you don't do it, those are the three things you can't just like act like they're not there. They will come after you. So
there we go. Avoid owing the government money or government sort of stuff and things like that. That's a no-go. Awesome. So now we talked a little bit about fears and being a little bit worried with our money. We're not sure if it's going to make us through retirement. We're not sure if we're going to be able to afford life. I liked what you said about it's going to be expensive no matter what when you're young. So I wrote down, don't overhype inflation. Like, don't blame everything on it. Things are going to be expensive and that's okay. But how do you feel confident with money? How do you turn those fears into, it's going to be okay. I'm going to buy a house eventually, maybe not right now, but how do you feel confident in the stage you're at?
Yeah. So the confidence comes with having a safety net and a cash reserve bucket, right? So nobody likes to hear that. It's not fun. but the idea that everybody should have a savings account with 3 to 6 months, their committed living expenses, right? So, you know, after you sit down and do a budget and figure out what your income, your expenses are, it's not a guess number. Then having 3 to 6 times that as a safety net. And that does two things. It gives you that confidence that if somebody gets sick, the car breaks down, something's going on with the house, right? We have a place that we can dip into without messing us up on our finances, right? Yeah. it's also the other side of that, that, you know, people see people who are wealthy, who put money into the stock market, and, you know, they don't just do that willy-nilly, right? I mean, they do. Some people are crazy and they just risk all, you know, this would be the person that'll walk into a casino and just put everything on red, right? But short of that person, a lot of times people who invest, they do so with the confidence that they've already got that savings part checked off, right? So once you have those, the fundamentals down of savings, then you can jump out and you might be able to wait out a correction in the market or a downturn in the market because you've got this other, what I call the safety net or a cushion, or that's the confidence that you have with, you know, going out in the, in investing or going out and even spending without having that, that guilt that you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, right? You know, being able to go to the movies or to a concert or something like that, and spending without having that sense of guilt because you know you have that bucket of money sitting there.
Awesome. Have a safety net. I love that. And that reminded me of a quick story. I was interviewing one of my friends on my podcast, and he talked about how they got a flat tire and that safety net was right there for him. And then a week later, my wife and I got a flat tire, and I blamed him because he jinxed it, but that safety net was right there for us. And we ended up saying, oh, the tires are, the tread's not great. Let's just, instead of replacing one or two, let's do all four. And that didn't derail anything because we had that little car repair fund there. And now we can spend the next 6 to 8 months slowly rebuilding that because we'll be okay during that time. And that's what's so fun about having that safety net, like you said.
I love it. I love it.
Awesome. Let's jump to talking about investing. You said it's a crazy person to go and just throw it all in there and do whatever and not have a plan. But for me, at my age, I'm 25, and my friends and I will all get a text from and say, hey, Bitcoin's up. And I'm like, whoa, guys, calm down, from my experience hearing so many other people's stories. But is talking about investing with friends actually helpful, or does it just lead us to that FOMO mentality? Is it actually good? Should we be talking about investing?
So that, I'll take it two different ways here. One is, should people generally be talking about investments with their friends, family members? Yes, I support that. Do that. The other one is, should I be talking about investments with friends and family? And some, a lot of times I try to avoid that because being a financial advisor, you have to be very careful about making general recommendations. And so I'm always somebody, I always insist that if I'm taking on a client, or if I'm talking about investing, that I do a full financial plan first. There are so many people when it comes to investing, you know, this is what you're trying to avoid, sounding like you're making general investment recommendations and somebody saying, Chris said I should do this, that, or the other, and then they come back and sue. But that's not just me. I'm in one of the most litigious, regulated industries out there. So there's very specific rules about what we can talk about investing. But generally, I strongly encourage people to get out there and learn about investing. I never let anybody off of the hook, whether it's somebody who's 25 or somebody that's 65. In fact, I'm an active manager, so this is not just a buy and hold approach. And I can talk a little bit about the difference between that. But with that type of investment management, I appreciate people who are intelligent enough to understand what I'm doing. So I always encourage people, even late in life, I don't let people off the hook. You need to know what asset allocation is. You know, modern portfolio theory of buy and hold. All of the stuff that we learn about investing is true. It works. But as an active manager, as people get closer to retirement, there's more of a risk of them getting drawn down in a market and then retiring and then having to kind of either reset or pushing their retirement date off. And so it's a different active management or total returns, what I use. Absolute return, this is another word for the same thing. That's a different approach. And I would encourage people to seek help, right, when they get to that point, because that part of it can get complicated. There are things that are ancillary to just the investment piece, Social Security, Medicare, so much stuff that you can make mistakes on. But as a young person, you mentioned Bitcoin. So there's another example. As a financial advisor, I think it's getting better now, but basically what the industry said, we can't really give any advice on Bitcoin. That's where they were a couple of years ago. Now, they've actually gotten some of the Bitcoin. There are ETFs. Even BlackRock's got one out now. So you're seeing some what we consider legitimate fund families bring Bitcoin into the mix, right? So where this ends up down the road, where we're a little bit more freer to speak about it, that might change up. But right now, it's one of those things like, yeah, I can't touch that. Cannabis stocks were another one, right? That my industry, they'll pick certain things and they'll say, okay, this we're not even going to touch with a 10-foot pole. And you just have to kind of like, all right.
Do it on your own, but which is kind of unfortunate. But I also like the mindset, I guess, when you're talking to your friends about the financial advisor mindset of, I can't give you a generalized recommendation because there's so much specific to it. Now we can talk about, hey, I like to invest in the S&P 500, but maybe that's not what's best for you. Maybe you need something a little calmer. I don't know. But I like the approach of, we can't give specific advice. And even that should probably extend to our friend circles, because there's still risk in telling your friends to say, hey, go put all your money in Facebook or some new startup, and then it goes to zero. Then you're no longer friends. So keep it
100%
general, but even then maybe avoid that a little bit and realize that, hey, there's got to be a little bit more education. But let's go ahead and wrap up here. This has been a fantastic conversation, and there was a couple things we missed, so maybe a future episode is in the horizon. But I enjoyed this conversation today, Chris. Thank you so much for joining. Is there anything you'd like to add, or where can people find you or your podcast?
Yeah, so for people who want to find out more, I would send them to the podcast, which is www.moneymatterspodcast.com. I'm actually, after 10 years, we started the YouTube channel about 2 years ago, and it was we were just posting videos up there, and I'm realizing, wait, that's not the right way to do it. we're having to go back and like actually start, you know, building the YouTube site with the algorithms and everything. So I encourage people to actually go to the YouTube website and watch them that way as well. Hit subscribe on there. And that's where I would send them, I think.
Awesome. Of course, there'll be links in the show notes. That's the awesome thing about podcasts. So Chris, thank you so much for joining. This has been a real fun conversation.
I love it. Skylar, have a good rest of the evening there.
There was a lot of great things that can leave a good amount of impact on you from today's episode, but a big thanks again to Chris for having me on his show and for coming on mine. One thing that I think would be very important to take away from the interview is to be involved with your money. Make sure you're talking about it. Make sure you're aware of what's happening with it. Make sure you're listening to multiple different people for different perspectives. Don't get stuck in one tunnel or one silo and only listening to one perspective. Podcasts are a great resource to both listen to and to have, so that you get to talk to great people and have fun conversations. But education overall helps us overcome our fears. This is something that I think can be very impactful. If you're worried about your finances because you don't quite know how to get out of debt, well, that can be a great place of education. If you're worried about your finances because you don't know how you're going to handle student loans, there's another place to get educated. Education helps us overcome our fears. One other thing that I took away that's impactful for me is to not give specific advice when I talk to people. Instead, talk about ideas and lessons, especially specific investing advice. It isn't good to receive or to give. It just leaves you feeling confused. And then if something goes wrong, then you feel a lot of anger or confusion, or you could be upset at your friends, or it can ruin relationships if you give specific investing advice and then it goes the wrong way. So make sure you're speaking about general investing tips, lessons, stories you have. But also another thing that's impactful is the importance of an emergency fund when it comes to feeling confident around your money. If you're feeling worried about losing your job, it's probably because you don't have a decent emergency fund in place to help cushion that blow if you were to lose your job. So make sure you have that safety net in place when it comes to feeling confident, because it's really going to help you out. But that leads right into the money talking points, which we're going to talk about next. So the first money talking point, how do you feel confident with money? Well, like I said, an emergency fund is a huge part. But how do I feel confident with money? Well, it's regular money talks with my wife. That's how I feel confident in what we're doing with our money. Our spreadsheet helps me feel confident because then I can look to it and know that we're on track when we're staying within the budget that we've set. And again, regular money talks help us feel and know that we're on the same page. That's a huge deal. A lot of couples don't feel like they're on the same page financially. So if you're able to get to that point, that's when you can really take things to the next level and start having fun with your money and feel ultimately very confident with your money. But the second money talking point is, what are your money fears? One of my money fears is that we're going to wait too long to start saving for retirement and that we won't be able to get enough saved for retirement. I know this seems kind of silly considering that I'm very young in the grand scheme of things and in the investing scheme of things, but we're waiting while Rebecca is in school. And those little bits of time that tick past worry me that we're going to wait just too long to get started and then it's not going to work out for us. But gratefully, I know we can do just a little bit. And I feel much better knowing that we're still investing a little bit while Rebecca's in school, which I think is something that helps you overcome those money fears. If you are in a place where that fear is real, or you are worried about your financial situation, see what little thing you can do to help calm that fear. For us, it's making sure we're still investing a little bit of money that we can right now while we're waiting to get through PA school and then start paying down the student loans, and then we can really, really get going on investing. So that was the money talking points. Next, I want to share a quick handy hint. Today's handy hint is all going to be around specific advice. And the handy hint is really that specific advice isn't good to give or to receive. It doesn't feel good when you're getting bombarded by texts from people saying, invest in this, do this with your money, you need to do this specific thing. And why is that? It's because we don't understand everyone's specific and unique situation. If you've been listening to this podcast for any amount of time, you've heard multiple times that everyone's story is different. You've probably never heard the same story from two guests. And that means the specific advice we're giving out isn't really going to be helpful because everyone's situation is different and people don't really want specific advice. They want to have general conversations about stories or what you've learned is helpful. General advice and pointing people in the right direction can be most useful. And that's today's handy hint. Next, let's power up your personal finances. Welcome to the Personal Finance Power Up, and I want to talk about the power up that is a safety net. So let's power up your confidence in your money with having a safety net. It's how you stay on track. That safety net, like I said earlier, can be the key towards feeling unsure about your job and feeling okay. Even though you maybe could lose your job, you know you have a safety net in the background that's going to help you weather the storm of changing jobs, looking for a new job. You know you don't need to find one right away, so you can take a little bit of time to find the job that you want. A thing that I took as a note from my conversation with Chris is don't get ahead of the fundamentals. They're there for a reason and you have to do them. And if you don't do them, you're going to end up racing ahead of them. Something is going to happen and you're going to get kicked right back down to the fundamentals. So if you make sure they're in place, you got a whole lot less distance to fall and it's going to be a whole lot easier for you to get back up on your feet. So power up your confidence with a safety net. Let's debut the new segment called The Water Cooler next. Welcome to the water cooler. This is a chance for me to be able to talk about kind of whatever I want. So this is my little opportunity to share some of the thoughts I have in my mind, whether they're money or not. Today, I'm going to be talking about podcasts, and I want to share a little bit of the excitement that comes from creating your own podcast or having something where you create what you want and you get to talk to people that you want to be around. I shared in the interview that I got to talk to Matt and Joel from How to Money, or I've been on Stacking Benjamin's podcast before, or I get to talk to guests like Chris or my recent guests. It's been so fun having conversations with people who are like-minded, people who share same interests, and even some of the people that I've had on have completely different views on money. And that's so fun to hear and talk about with my wife and share those ideas with my friends and family. So I'd really consider it. Start your own podcast, start your own YouTube channel, start your own blog, whatever you want to do. Find a topic or a craft or something you enjoy and create some content around it. It's going to help you get involved in that sphere. And another thing I want to talk about a little bit is potentially changing up my online presence. If you follow this podcast on social media, you'll know I post regular reels or shorts, and I'm considering going away from that. I'm considering a little bit less social media and maybe more content directly on my website. But let me know what you think. Is that something you'd be a part of? My thought is that I don't really like using social media a whole lot in my personal life. So why am I creating content that's driving people towards something that I don't use myself? So I'm thinking of being more intentional with an email list or potentially a newsletter. Let me know what you think. How would you like to stay connected with the podcast? I'd really appreciate any feedback that anyone has on this topic. But let's wrap up today's episode next. Next. Thank you again to Chris for coming on today's episode. I hope that you were able to take something away from today's episode. I know that I did. There are also some great episodes coming up, so make sure you're subscribed and share with a friend so you can have more and more money talks. But again, I appreciate everything that was said in today's interview. There were some great tips shared about how to be confident with your money, how to not be fearful, and the awesomeness of starting a podcast and getting to talk to people that you really want to. So make sure you're listening to other people's stories, having great conversations and great money talks so that you can feel confident with your money in your life. But thank you so much for listening. And if you have anyone you know or you want to come on the podcast to share a financial story, let me know. Thank you so much for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. I'm your host, Skylar Fleming. Have a great week.
Thank you for listening to Money Talk with Skylar Fleming. This show is provided for informational and entertainment purposes and may not be specific to your unique situation. Please be sure to do additional research before making any financial decisions.